You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And finally, as we said, it is week one. It is here. Browns and Jets kicking off the season this weekend, this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's start with Cam in Canada. Cam, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing really good, guys. Yourselves?
Good, man.
Just fine, thank
Great
you.
Great holiday.
It was nice. It's good to see you out and about, Matt Wilhelm, sir.
So, Cam. One of the things I was going to say, no worries. One of the things I was going to say here, I have a few points, but I'll keep it succinct. The same people that are calling for Ray Farmer's head are the same people who are saying that Urban Meyer is not a good coach during the game last night. Like, so Ray, if you're listening, stay calm, man. And I just want to lay out, as you guys know, you would know, Nathan, I'm all about measurables and true concrete facts. So just for the people that are calling for Ray Farmer's head, let's look at what this guy's done. He's got the cap managed brilliantly. He's got the most draft picks in the league, 75% growth in the win column, a relative to the NFL great group, almost choir boy-like group of guys off the field. Six of six 2014 draft picks started at least a game last year. Eight of 10 draft picks this year made the team this year. He's got a completely rebuilt front seven. He's got an exceptional record on UDFAs. He's got a stud first rounder and a second first rounder who allowed them to slot two more guys into their depth chart. He's done a successful rebrand. His mid to late round players starting games is exceptional. He got a full season out of a third rounder who everyone hated and wanted gone 3 days ago. He got a full season of serviceable use out of him. He acquired two quarterbacks with NFL game experience. He's got eight Pro Bowlers on the roster. He's got the most draft picks over the last 2 years. And he's got one of the most dominant rookies in the NFL with Shelton and Cooper. And he's got guys that have freed up with Pryor, the ingenuity behind Pryor and with Irving. They, for all intents and purposes, are running a 57 or 58 man roster right now because those guys are chewing up five spots. Anybody who is calling for this guy's head, I would liken that to calling for Urban Meyer's head. It's insanity.
Well, Cam, we appreciate the positivity and the support there.
Laying it all out there, Cam. Appreciate it.
I think right now there's a lot of angst over, and the Terrence West trade shines that spotlight on last year's draft where you have the two first-rounders. You traded up to get both Gilbert, Johnny, and then also Terrence West, so all three of them. And right now, you know, people want to see more there. Now, you did get what he is right about. Is it last year, regardless of where they were drafted, you did get quality players in Joel Bitonio, in Chris Kirksey, and ultimately from that draft you've got Pierre Desir, and then not from the draft but from that class of rookies is Taylor Gabriel, who's going to be a contributor this year. K'Wan Williams is your starting nickel. Isaiah Crowell is your starting tailback. So there still was an influx of talent from that draft. People, I think, are upset at the opportunity that may have been, you know, and it's early to say missed completely, but the opportunity that appears to be struggling to be capitalized on, at least early in the careers of both Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert. All right, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. After a very busy weekend, the Browns getting set to take on the Jets. Danny in SoCal, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I had no idea what that guy from Canada just talked about, but I can understand. No need to get defensive today. I just want to do a shout out to Isaiah Crowell.
Yes.
The guy, he did it, you know, beat all odds, was undrafted, came in here, number one running back for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, he epitomizes, I feel, what the city of Cleveland is all about. Hope he has a great year. I hope Cleveland pays him next year. And I hope this guy is for the future of the Cleveland Browns. Like you said, Taylor Gabriel. Who else? Pierre Desir last year. Okay,
K'Wan.
K'Wan Williams. One more, yeah. But this year, how about Bibbs? I've been rooting for him all along. I'm so happy.
The only
for
undrafted
him.
Free agent to make it so far this year. Yeah, I like Bibbs as well. I think I appreciate the shout out to Crow. I'm excited to see what he can do as a main guy. Guy's never gotten 20 carries in a game in his career. I imagine he's going to get 20 totes of the rock against the Jets on Sunday.
I believe so too. And again, it's going to be a challenging defense. You know, as we got all of our press releases and depth charts and so on and so forth. And I'm just looking at the defense, and yeah, it's formidable. You know, Muhammad Wilkerson, Leonard Williams is obviously going to get the start because of Sheldon Richardson's suspension, Quentin Coples. David Harris got paid this offseason. Calvin Harris has been a staple there in that Jets defense for, I mean,
Calvin
seven
years. Yep.
What did I say? Calvin Harris. Sorry,
Calvin
yeah.
Harris.
You're right.
You're wanting to go to the club.
I was thinking EDM. Sorry.
That's right.
Yeah, Cromartie, Revis, Pryor, Gilchrist. You know, all guys with significant starting and very, very good defense. So I believe it's going to be a battle of the defenses. And our ability to stop the run, I know a lot of people and you're – obviously a fantasy guy. Where's Chris Ivory, you know, weigh in as a running back, a productive running back in the National Football League? Because he's someone that I believe we have to stop and force Fitzpatrick to beat us with his arm.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be the game plan, is to stop Chris Ivory. And if you're the Jets, you're going to want to get Chris Ivory going. I think Chris Ivory is a very, very talented runner, a physical runner. Last year, 821 yards for them and 6 touchdowns, over 4 yards a carry. That's going to be the key to this game. They've got to be able to stop Chris Ivory. I expect to see a lot of him running the football in this one. For Crow, the good news, no Sheldon Richardson, but this is still a very nice front with Muhammad Wilkerson, Damon Harrison, and then, of course, they drafted Leonard Williams 6th overall this year.
Fell on their plate.
Fell right into their lap. So this is going to be a tough front for the Browns to deal with. But, hey, your offensive line is supposed to be your backbone, so let's see it against the Jets. Brian in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
So I know I'm trying to keep the faith with the Browns. Been a Browns fan my whole life. Like I'm everybody listening to the show right now.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like that. But you know, you got every year you got the same exact thing happening where you question mark quarterback. You know, we finally had a decent quarterback last year, and I know I'm not going to open up Pandora's box again with the whole Hoyer thing. But you know, Terrell Pryor is probably a better quarterback than Johnny Manziel just on the fact of his size and his ability to throw. Can you guys please tell me something like the first guy did that maybe will help us keep the faith with these Browns in this 2015 season?
Listen, this was a team that the starters were, and it's preseason, so it doesn't matter, but at no point were they behind. They didn't leave the field losing in any of the games. Week 3, which is really the tune-up game, we saw a very strong performance in all 3 phases from this team.
Yeah.
None of those guys have played football since then, so the good feelings that were there after that Tampa Bay game should be there going into Week 1. I think people are upset with what happened, you know, basically with Vince Maley being cut, because gosh, this team needed a receiver. Man, last year's wide receiver draft was unbelievable.
Right.
This year's looking like a very good one as well, and the Browns got nothing out of it at a position of big need for them. So I think people are frustrated, and the Terrence West trade, we know the math of it doesn't look good. We'll find out ultimately down the road if it ends up being addition by subtraction, which is clearly what the team thinks that it is. But right now, the math on that doesn't look favorable. So people are unhappy. But let's not forget, the keys to winning for this team were not going to be Vince Maley, and likely many thought not Terrence West, that he was trailing behind Isaiah Crowell to be the starter. Duke Johnson was going to be the complement, with West kind of in a backup role. So right now, the Browns need to add another running back before this game against the Jets. I don't think there's any doubt. It seems like Sean Drone, who's on the practice squad, is likely to be promoted and will be that guy, which means somebody will get cut who's currently on the 53 and practicing all week. But what you feel good about is that last year, the biggest weakness on this team was the defensive line. That has been, I believe,
yes,
improved significantly. I'm not going to use the word fixed until we see it in NFL games week in and week out, but it has been improved significantly. Your secondary remains very good. The defense remains good. Your offensive line remains amongst one of the best in the league. Now, however, I didn't see that in the preseason. So that's something that we need to see when these games matter. And so ultimately, the path to victory for this team, nothing has changed based on what happened over the weekend. I think people are just upset that something happened that doesn't look as good as you would want it to. You don't want to swing and miss on Vince Maley in the fourth round on a team that needs a wide receiver.
You don't.
You don't. You don't want to trade up to get a running back, which is something we said on the show you never should do, is trade up to get a running back, but we did it. You take Terrence West. He leads your team in rushing a year ago, and now he's gone really for very little in return. Could be a seventh round pick, could be nothing, depending on how he performs with the Tennessee Titans. So, yeah, that's what people are concerned about. But the impact in terms of what that has, on where this team is going into week one, to me, is very, very small.
I agree. And, you know, the one key factor, as you're noting all of those things and as the, you know, the callers have been coming in, that I believe is an advantage to the Cleveland Browns we're in a non-lose situation when it comes to the Cleveland Browns versus the New York Jets, is we cannot be outcoached.
No.
In our preparation, our game plan has to be strategic, it has to be thorough, and we have to have players bought in, because we are seeing Todd Bowles, our first-year head coach, you know, and some of the bumps and bruises that Mike Pettine has learned from and overcome, now understanding both sides of the football, you know, very, very in-depth. But that's the one thing that I would look for the Cleveland Browns to take advantage of week one, is to not get outcoached, to have a better game plan and have the players in this locker room. Because if callers, if analysts, if fans want to say, you know, we're not talented here, we're not any better here, we're not this, we're not that, if there's one thing that we are out of the gates, I believe we're going to be a better coached, more efficient football team week one because of Mike Pettine and the continuity in this staff going into a second season than a rookie head coach in Todd Bowles. And then you look to week two, you've got a rookie quarterback. You saw what we did in that first half against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, taking advantage of a rookie quarterback and using it to our advantage to score points and get off the football field. And then week three, the Raiders have been disarray for as long as the Browns have, well over a decade. Yep. And they've got a second-year quarterback that has not been firing on all cylinders in the preseason as well. So getting off to a fast start and out-coaching these other opponents, to me, is something that we have to do. And then win two out of the three offense, defense, special teams in each of those football games to get off to the start that I believe we can get off to.
When you are on a team like this, okay, and it seemed to be a pretty quiet offseason. You know, certain people were critical of certain things that were happening, but for the most part, it seemed to be a pretty quiet offseason. Had some success in the preseason, especially there in that third one. You're going into week one. The weekend comes, Labor Day weekend here. Week one's about to come. All of a sudden, it seems like the sky is falling in many ways from a media perception about your team. Does that help the guys kind of rally together? Are guys even cognizant of all the things that have been said over this past weekend?
No.
And does Coach Pettine say, look, everybody's giving us no chance. Everybody's saying we're the worst team in the world. Let's go out and prove it against the Jets that we're not.
I don't believe that's a speech Coach Pettine is giving. I don't believe that a significant portion of this roster cares about the moves that are being made, because it's not in their control anyway. I believe a portion of this locker room probably wish Terrence West wasn't here because of his attitude and you know, his inability to get on the field in the preseason was frustrating. Crow was taking a significant amount of reps. I think the inconsistency of Vince Mailey was upsetting to other offensive players, I would say, especially those.
He was supposed to be a developmental guy.
Right. I know, but my whole point was, he's a developmental guy, so to move on from him is no skin off a veteran's back. It's like, cool, he wasn't going to give us, you know, 50 receptions anyway, so it's like, if he's on our team or on our practice squad, it really doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm getting ready to, and that's the one thing as a pro athlete, is that a high majority of them want to win over anything. Secondly, is these guys want to secure their livelihood. I'm worried about me making the team. I'm worried about one out of 53 spots, not the other 52. So once I secure those next things, then I'm worried about the other 10 guys, if I am a starter, that are going to be out there on the field in most cases come week one against the New York Jets. And then of course, the game plan and how I'm going to execute and then you get into, who am I playing against? Am I playing against you know, Quentin Coples? Am I going to have to block David Harris, who's been a Pro Bowler before in his career, and so on and so forth? So then you start, but who's at the bottom 10% of this roster makes little concern for any of the guys who are actually going to partake in the game, you know, this coming Sunday.
All right, when we come back, we're going to continue taking your phone calls, 216-578-0850 here, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Week one is upon us. Very excited to get going into real games. That is going to be something that we have all been waiting for, long overdue. We'll talk about, again, the roster, your thoughts on that. We got a chance to hear from Mike Pettine coming up. We'll have the CBD Roundtable with Andrew Gribble and Kevin Jones at 2. We can hear from Joe Thomas as well. But as long as you want to continue to talk your Cleveland Browns, that's what we are going to do here on ESPN 850 WKNR's Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.